Man, it's good to be back again, and we are closing out formally the wrestling portion of the program.
Right. This is the blow-off match.
Yeah. Next week, we'll be moving on formally into something else, but we'll let you know at the end. I'm Jim, he's Clarkson. Right. When we unite, we are the longest-running indie we're the Film Thugs.
Barbaric!
See, it counts as hitting the post, even if you bail on the sentence you're saying.
That's true.
It just
we're the Film Thugs.
We're the Film Thugs.
New shirt coming soon. We're the Film Thugs.
Yeah, suddenly I'm all beat up, 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 up. How's everybody doing? I am Jim. He is Clarkson, and we are we're the Film Thugs. We're here to talk.
All right, I got to do it again now.
Yeah,
barbaric
as hell.
There
we are. It feels great.
Twice introduced.
Two times. That's the way we live. That's how we do things now.
Yeah.
So today we're actually talking about a rewatch.
Yeah.
Of a movie that I saw in the theater.
Wow.
Which is crazy because this was back in the day. So I managed movie theater for a brief period, the Lakeline Mall Regal Cinema. I was there for the opening of the first Pokemon movie.
Okay.
So I've earned stripes as a movie theater manager. Anyone who's ever worked a movie theater hears that and is like, holy shit, bruh. Yeah, I had to give out cards. Like, we had fucking Pokemon cards that we were entrusted with. It was
wow.
It was absurd and stupid.
So many extra Squirtles.
Really, really everywhere. That's an interesting way of describing the theater, but not incorrect. But so I worked there, and as a result of that, when I left, I was in possession of a very large number of emergency tickets. Mm. So, you know, for those unaware, when you go to a movie and like the projector fucks up or there's a problem, then they give you a pass when you leave. That's an emergency ticket. It means there was an emergency, screwed your movie up. Those get you a free ticket to any movie. Doesn't matter. You know how a lot of them have, new movie, no free passes accepted. Right. They accept these for those. Every movie. And I had a lot when I left. And all of my family members had a lot when I left. So I was just going to see everything in the theater for a while for free. It was amazing. I didn't pay to see a movie in the theater outside of the Alamo Drafthouse for like 2.5 years.
That's nice.
And the only reason it stopped at 2.5 years was because they changed the format of the ticket.
Sons
and so after a while, they didn't accept them. So
it's known as the gym clause.
Yeah, yeah. And realized that was even after, hold on, I'm trying to think on this because... No, I ended up using them total for like 6 years after I left.
I think I remember you having them.
Oh, yeah, those red ones.
Yeah.
I still have a fuckload of them. Yeah. I never paid to go to a movie. That's why I was like, yeah, dude, you want to go to a movie?
Yes.
It's on me. But yeah, so because of that, I saw this in the theater because I'd been hearing about it. It was rare for a documentary about anything to get a theatrical release.
That's true, yeah.
That's the one thing we were talking about before this, how weird it is that of the old multiplexes, even when they were monopolized by shit like Regal and AMC and all that, for a while, you could still get those odd showings of like, they're showing this like a weird documentary at a major theater for like 4 days.
Small screen or whatever.
Yeah. And so these things would hit every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So you'd get this opportunity. I remember seeing it in the theater and kind of reacting the way I did to it now, where it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
So seeing a... He was paralyzed 3 weeks after this finished filming at the very end. It's like, well, shit, that's a Prost.
Yeah.
And then I think I went and watched American Psycho or something. I don't know.
Yeah, this project got off the ground in much the same way that wrestling carries on.
Yeah.
Through lies and carnival behavior.
Yes, there is so much carny going on in this movie.
The director... was one of the writers that worked with Eddie Murphy on some of his bigger projects that were very successful.
Yes.
And because of that success, Universal greenlit this little passion project of his.
That gives you an idea of how successful the shit he worked on with Eddie Murphy was.
Yeah, that and Ron Howard
was
involved in production-wise. So all the stars aligned, along with Ron Howard being a neighbor of Vince McMahon, apparently, at the time.
Well, and like all gingers, he has an insatiable bloodlust.
True.
So, you know, that happens as well.
And Vince had to invite him in.
Yeah, had to.
And
he's gonna puke. Yeah.
And it was, the access was unprecedented at the time.
Yeah.
This was right around maybe 2 or 3 years after, and only Vince Vince's way. He thought he dropped kayfabe.
Yeah.
Right? Kayfabe had been fucking down for a long time, yeah. but he came out and officially said it. Okay. Oh, really? It's not on the level? Son of a bitch, Vinny.
Yeah, wow.
Anyway, so they hadn't really had the cameras, at least at this kind of production value,
yeah.
back to see how the sausage is made.
Yes. And like really see, I mean, they're yeah. And said, now that I know you can vomit on command, it's going to be puke. Now, here's what I'm going to need.
Yeah, you to puke.
Puke for me now.
Puke now, boy.
Puke. And yeah. I best believe it.
Yeah.
It just
goes back to one of the Carolinas in the trailer.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
It was, it was pitched to Vince as, you know, you can use this as promo material.
Yeah.
Ad material, either internally or use it, you know, for WrestleManias to pitch to different towns, because this was the time when it was very much more of them going to towns to get WrestleMania in there,
yeah.
as opposed to what it is now.
Right.
Where towns want that money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So he sort of lied about this, saying that it wasn't going to be released in the theaters.
Right.
It wasn't meant to be. It was like a little art house thing. No one's going to make any money on it. All this. I don't know. You could see that maybe, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe it was initially.
Yeah.
And then the story just evolved because of the people he was able to interview.
Right.
Or got access to. I don't.
It feels like, Vince, you're a carny, but I'm from fucking Hollywood.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm from fucking Hollywood.
Yeah, you may be a carny and think you can manipulate anyone. I'm from Hollywood.
I'm from Hollywood, dude.
Which is really great when later on in the movie, about, you know, last third or midpoint, when New Jack, clearly a favorite to the director.
Oh yeah,
interview with some casting directors.
Uh-huh.
Those casting directors are like, oh yeah, I can see him being a leading man. They just fucking lie their ass off.
Their fucking teeth.
Straight in the camera. They didn't even fucking blink.
No, they did not.
Vince is back there bullshitting and, you know, chewing water.
Yeah.
And moving around and like, I'm not lying to you. These fuckers are just like, nope.
Yeah. The level of just like pure sociopathy that's necessary for a motherfucker. He wouldn't be Denzel. He'd be Denzel's best friend.
Right.
Like,
what?
Oh my God. God.
Yeah, I mean, the only people with more power than that to lie would be in Washington.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, just watching it, seeing, I get how people get this in their heads.
Yeah, you can see how that works. Have you ever been in the same room with an honest-to-God politician of a certain level, like state and beyond?
Not in any real way. I did, as a child, bump into Henry Cisneros at an event and shake his hand.
That's close enough.
So, yeah.
I mean, but see them work the room. Like, my dad had a picture with Mark White. Remember that? My age here.
Yeah.
Our age.
Well, yeah, because you're old as shit now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How they talk.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
You just convinced all these people to do the exact same they came in to complain about.
Yeah.
To do what you want.
Yeah.
And that's Vince, but not with Hollywood, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Vince,
they're legitimate, Vince.
Yeah.
Their business is covered with a certain amount of respect.
Yeah.
Unlike professional wrestling.
Yep.
Deservedly so, by the way.
And they have, you know how we get really good lawyers? Yeah. We get the really good picks of what they leave behind so far as entertainment law goes.
Vince and
whoever working with this guy and Universal Studios just pounded us.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, Vince, you mention in the complaint that Janelle Grant that you have an attorney who is the best of the best. You have an attorney that's the best of the best.
Attorney, yeah.
Uh-huh. They have buildings full of best of the best.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird how that shit works.
It's funny to think about. And yes, of course, I downloaded the entire complaint, printed it out, and highlighted it, read every page, 67 Jesus. Pages worth, highlighted, redlined. I got notes. Here's a whole thing. I'm not doing it on this show.
Yeah, it's
too much.
It's elsewhere.
And it's, again, allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, possibly true.
But
one, yeah,
no.
So it's one of those where, like, Have you ever met somebody who graduated from Harvard Law School?
Yeah.
Cool. Would you like to meet a floor of people who graduated from Harvard Law School?
Exactly.
All at the top of their class.
Yes. All with the sharpest teeth.
Yes. Oh.
That never sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They just eat bowls of Adderall.
Yeah. Just like they will... They will get you.
They're going to get you.
Yeah, they're going to end up on
but
top.
I bring Vince up again, not because it's beyond the mat, but because of the current scandal he finds himself in.
Uh-huh.
He's now been absorbed by Endeavor into TKO.
Yeah.
Endeavor is Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they scream from the hills that this is it for Vince, I have to remember... Whether it's true or not, I don't know. No matter how much people dislike him, and I'm not a fan.
Right.
He is now with these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they couldn't save Weinstein, but they could have.
Right.
They just didn't.
Now, that's the beauty of it, because now he's with them. So the weaker he is, the better it is for them. Boy, exactly. It would be really good for Endeavor if he just... fucking disappeared.
Yeah.
And they got to work with people who might be more friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just maybe a little more Stephanie.
Yeah. It rhymes with Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, rhymes with Stephanie McMahon. Oddly enough, I'm saying that woman would be more reasonable.
I mean, if it all shakes out the way it's going to shake out, there'll be a member of the McMahon family there.
Yes, there will. Yeah.
Who knows who? His son.
Yeah, Shane.
No. Paul Levesque. So.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Anyway.
Woo!
Yeah.
See, and here's the thing. Now, having watched all these documentaries, it was something I said early on to you that I think the more proper term for WWE is theatrical combat troupe.
Yeah.
And if you found out that there was a theater troupe who had a majority of its members die of heart attacks before the age of 50, that might be worth looking into.
Yeah, yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
And they did. They have. They being the U.S. government has looked in a few times.
Yeah.
If you've... spend any time reading the lawsuit that came, the steroid trial.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable how fucking ham-fisted.
Oh yeah.
The federal prosecutor was on this. Fucking unbelievable.
Because Jesus.
Because you're trying to prove that he distributed these drugs.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You can prove he received them.
Yeah.
But you cannot show us anything that shows him distributing.
Exactly. Why?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Not to mention venue. There's a whole thing, dude.
Yep.
This is what wrestling fans do these days.
Yeah.
Professional wrestling is so goddamn either boring as fuck on one side of the street.
Right.
Or so fucking stupid on the other side of the street.
Right.
That the only thing that we do with ourselves is dig in so deep into what's going on behind.
Yeah.
As one worker said, it was better when the marks were in the audience and not in the business.
Oof.
Right? No truer words have ever been spoken.
So is Roman Reigns gonna break Hogan's record and hold on to the belt for the year?
I guess. Probably.
So,
he's held for a long time.
So you know what I just found out that I was unaware of entirely? Evidently... Roman Reigns is a heel.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I really don't know much about it.
Pulling fucking teeth for that to happen, but it finally did. You know what happened when he finally turned heel, like everybody wanted him to? $1 million.
Yep. Yep. He looks like a heel.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're not as charming as Jason Momoa.
No. Nope.
Who can play both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very well.
Yep. You're a bad guy, dude.
You're a bad guy.
So just deal with it.
Okay.
There's worse things that could happen.
Clearly.
Like Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man.
Jeezy crazy.
Jeezums.
That was the conceit of this. This is how he got back there, he being the director.
Right.
To make any of this happen. And I wonder if sometimes that we should when we're doing these wrestling shows, that while watching the films, we should record that.
Yeah.
Because I've got you and Hope sitting there as I point out who's dead,
yeah,
who's not,
yeah,
who's why, who's
exactly.
Why not.
Like, who's that person? Oh, that's this.
Oh. That person. Oh, and that person's dog's name.
Right.
Yeah.
It was funny because as we're watching the movie, the number of times they're, dad, he's dead.
Yes.
He was paralyzed and then he died. Like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
The, the ability to see how this fucking ridiculous circus gets off the ground is fascinating.
It really is.
I remember watching it the first time years ago and was completely fascinated by all of that, of course.
Because what I love about this movie is you can tell a writer did it because there's such a clear structure.
Yes.
And the way it broke out, because you essentially we had like three main storylines going. We had the quit.
Mm-hmm.
We had the I Quit match. We had the and the build up, all that shit with him. Yeah. We had Terry Funk and we had Jake the Snake.
Right.
But before that, we had a little bit of that intray through that fucking. I don't want to say that he looked like a particular Conway Twitty live album cover, but there is a particular Conway Twitty live album cover that guy kind of looks like, and that is not a compliment to anyone involved.
No.
And I think you might know the cover I'm talking about. I walked in the room and a song is playing off. I was like, Hope, get in here. Hope, get in here.
Yes.
But yeah, so other than that, this movie is, we get a little intro through this scumbag who is very clearly a scumbag liar.
Yes, apparently. I mean, Bruce Pritchard has said as much.
Yeah.
And this is Bruce Pritchard talking.
Yeah.
Vince's fucking hand to the king, essentially.
Right.
So either this guy fucked them out of something or tried to fuck them out of something.
Right.
Because clearly, if the carny thinks the carny's a carny, more carny,
yeah,
he must suck.
There's a problem with it. Yeah. There's
so, again, remember, it's wrestling. You have to choose who you want to believe.
When a carny is calling you a carny, fucking hell.
Yeah, dude.
So other than that, we had Terry Funk. Now, his whole story is odd because he is weirdly functional because what his... Yes. It's none of what he's doing with this is desperate financial anything.
No. It depends on what he believes, but he's not like he's fucking going to be on the street if he doesn't.
He's not Jake the Snake.
Right.
Yeah, there is no like desperation. He could retire and live off of other shit, whatever. He does not have to do it. He simply loves doing it so much that he refuses to stop. It's a drug. It's the only thing.
The only thing I can see after going through his career as much as I have.
Yeah.
Again, the Lapse Guys just finished up an entire thing about Terry Funk. So if you want to know more,
they're there. Yeah.
But I never noticed anything or haven't run across anything that would tell me that he was in some form of serious financial straits.
Right.
At any point, because he comes from a wrestling family, an established wrestling family in Amarillo. They had money to begin with. They weren't filthy rich. They were just a troupe of carnies and trailers.
Right. Yeah.
But eventually, once
they had money in as much as they could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude owns a ranch.
Dude owns a ranch.
Yeah.
He's got some nickels to rub together.
Exactly.
So you can only look at it and go, well, he just doesn't want to stop.
Yeah. He feels sort of like, those like, you know why Yarmir Yager, you know who he was. Yeah, you know why he's not in the Hall of Fame?
Mm.
Still playing.
Oh, of course.
He's still fucking playing.
That's crazy.
Because he just, and like, then he just like, motherfucker, please retire. Just please, we want to put you in the Hall of Fame so fucking bad. He's like, I still love playing.
Yeah.
He's that I can't give it up. It's my comparison between Henry Rollins and Iggy Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
Iggy loves it. Henry's just good at it.
Right, right.
But Iggy, that's where I come alive.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was Terry.
Yeah.
Now, on the absolute flip side of that.
Yeah, I think quickly about Terry.
Oh, yeah, no.
You mentioned the people dying in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing about Terry is that separates him from almost everybody, even though he couldn't seem to get away from the business.
Right.
He didn't let the business take him away from his family completely.
Yes.
There was a time where he and Vicky went through a divorce for like a year, maybe two, whatever.
Mm.
But they eventually got back together and they call it their break. Well, he calls it the break.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah.
At a certain point, unlike Ric Flair, for example,
right?
He's like, no, my family means more to me than this.
Right.
He was at one point offered the gig, especially when Vince thought he was going to fucking federal pen, to be the booker of WWE.
Right.
Right? Or F at the time. And he made the deal. He had a handshake deal on it. Went to the hotel that night and thought about it. Said, I can't do this. Left a note for Vince, said, had to go. My horse is sick. I think it might die. Gone. So he did work off and on for the WWF, but he worked off and on for everybody.
Right.
No one has their fingerprints on the entirety of the professional wrestling business than Terry Funk.
Yeah.
He's fucking everywhere. Well, his first match was Sputnik Rowe in the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay? Everywhere. Germany, Japan, South America, America, Canada, everywhere.
Yeah, all over the place, all the time. Yeah. Actually, it's funny because that right there, hold on. I'm going to pull up Jaeger because that just reminds me. Okay, Yarmir Yager, give you the facts. Let's see where this man has played. His teams. Pittsburgh Penguin, H.C. Bolzano, Washington Capitals, Ritriff Kladano.
Oh, of course. Okay.
The Rangers, Avangard Omsk, the Flyers, the Stars, the Bruins, the Rebels, the Flames, the Panthers. Played for the Czechoslovakian team. Wow. The Czechoslovakian and Czech Republic team. And he is still playing, has been playing since 1988.
That's ridiculous.
And is still
God
playing since 1988.
I wonder if his career cost him his family. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Funk, there was a point where it's like, Terry, they don't want you to do this anymore and would like you to stop.
Yeah.
That's how you could tell. He is addicted to.
Yeah.
And
if you don't know anything about, as a non-wrestling fan coming into this documentary, it's just really towards his ECW run. They shoot back to some death matches that were filmed in Japan.
Yeah.
Like an exploding barbed wire death match. Okay. Where C4 was attached to sections of the ring and wrapped in barbed wire. When you hit it, it exploded. And eventually the entire ring exploded.
Japan don't fuck about.
They don't fuck about.
Wow.
Okada was the one. I think it was Okada did that. To see how you watch those on YouTube, and then you can watch AEW's version of Exploding Deathmatch. It is fucking hilarious. Hilarious.
It's sparklers,
it's worse. It is something. It looked like I wrote it to make fun of AEW. It's that fucking hilarious. Okay. Like Yoda laugh.
Okay.
To people that don't understand that, I laughed my ass off in Attack of the Clones.
When Yoda started spinning.
Yeah, it's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
There's actually a cut of the prequels as a side of a side of a side that edits all that stuff out. It's like how to do the prequels in one movie.
Right.
It's like one 2.5 hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
All that shit's edited out. I'm like, someone out there could be a friend of mine.
Yep. Oh.
Anyway.
But yeah. So with Funk, so
you're looking at Funk at this point in his career where he was doing moonsaults off the fucking tables. ECW Extreme Championship Wrestling was the epitome of what they would call back in the territory days hot shotting.
Yeah,
you would do a strange, violent match or something with weird steps.
Yeah,
to pop the number of your house.
Yeah,
ECW essentially just hot shot everything.
It was sort of like one of my favorite things I ever read in an article was Entertainment Weekly. It was like, writing for Party of Five, our entire goal was to make very special episode have no meaning. Like, every fucking episode was going to be a very special. We just wanted that to have no meaning. And AEW, boom. Oh. No, that's just the show now.
Oh, my God. It's it's the fucking best.
You and that's where you get those fucking thumbtacks and fucking.
Oh yeah, ECW had all that shit.
Yeah,
all of that.
It is, dude, just the most carny.
You can get even carnier.
Yeah,
there's a promotion called Game Changer Wrestling.
Okay.
They
just have guns.
It's the look. Mick Foley and Terry Funk originated with Okada in Japan, the original death matches, and they were bizarre, They sold 20,000-30,000 tickets, people, Jesus, to watch this in Japan.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's one of those, and it had a build to yeah. it and whatever. Yeah. And it was unusual and violent for the time and all this.
Yeah.
Well, that group of people that were fans of all that tape trading stuff then became, they're got into whatever the fuck they think is professional wrestling. Uh-huh. We're talking about, and you just Google this on your own, okay, death matches in Game Changer.
Uh-huh.
Or Gorilla Pro, what a fucking ever. Pro Wrestling Gorilla, I think. Whatever. People going through panes of glass, getting hit with light tubes. Is the dumbest juggalo bullshit you have ever seen.
It goes beyond carny to carny geek.
Yes.
It's basically exactly a dude right. biting heads off chickens.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's usually held in a field with 100 yep. fucking people. Uh-huh. Let's just say there's a lot of black t-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of guys look like me, which is disturbing.
It's yeah. It's the real bloodlust.
I should carry a pamphlet around.
Yeah, it's been,
this I'm not everything. That. I just look I'm not like that. This.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
It's called I Just Look. I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Yes.
The Clarkson Campbell
story. Correct. Correct. Anyway, it's dog shit.
Yeah.
But it's I don't want people to go out there and get it because I'm such a fucking Terry Mark. Like,
right.
He wasn't always like this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he was NWA champion, legit guy. You're like, come on, no.
And it's what happens when you hold on too long.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it's sure. like those, the bands that just don't let, it's.
Oh, yeah.
Terry.
Late stage Kiss.
Again, it's Kiss turning into Anvil almost. Yeah, yeah. Although that's the next story. Yeah, that's I'm our sure. second chapter that we go into. So much worse. But yeah, Terry, there is something, though, that is at least like, dude fucking loves it and can't stop.
Right.
And there's something about that I can get. I can see that. I can understand it.
Same thing with Mick. Yeah. Mick Foley.
Exactly, yeah.
And they use that to tie in those two worlds. It's pretty well done.
Yeah, we have two people who love doing it and are good at it.
Right.
And then in the middle, let's go through the shit sandwich in order.
Sure.
We've carved off a bun.
Yeah.
And now, oh my God. Jake the Snake Roberts. So
real name, you want to guess?
Is it Jake the Eel?
No, but I like
Roberts.
It. Jacob L. Eel. No. Aurelian Smith.
Aurelian?
Aurelian?
O'Reilly?
Yes.
Nailed that one.
Did. Comedy, hell yeah. Y'all.
Dude, so here's the way I will describe this for those unaware. If you've ever seen the movie The Wrestler, imagine the shit that prompted that.
Yeah, imagine it didn't look like Mickey Rourke on all the gear and just somebody who ate marshmallow fluff for a decade.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like literally if Buffalo Bill Cody really let himself go.
Yes.
Like really, like if all he did was just eat buffalo fat and not walk.
Oh, I eat just buffalo fat and yeah. cotton candy.
Yeah.
From the carnival. Bags yes. and bags and bags. Garbage bags.
Garbage bags of cotton used candy.
Garbage bags. full of cotton candy.
Gives it an extra patina.
I like it.
Yeah.
You need to have a little acid.
Yeah. Jam. Cuts it a little bit.
See, my bronchitis helps me get into the Jake voice.
Yeah. Oh, and Jake. So,
Jake, let's preface Jake, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jake comes from a complicated family.
I think that's a fair assessment.
He, by his own admission.
But self-described.
Self-described product of statutory rape.
Yes.
His mother was 13 uh-huh. when she got pregnant because yeah. his dad
yeah.
was dating that girl's mother and instead had sex with that child.
Well, but what Jake said was he didn't say statutory. He said it was outright.
I know, rape. I'm just going yeah. from what some of the, right. there's different other, yeah. reports on that.
Jake's statement is.
Was rape.
Raped.
He which
raped
is, it is rape.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah no fuck. Matter how you look at it.
I'm not trying to protect Grizzly Smith, for God's sake.
Yeah. But he raped a 13-year-old girl
right.
who, yeah. And like, and the reason that I might agree with you with the statutory part is how else is this motherfucker still in your life?
That's right.
How is he not in jail? Like, you're skipping a lot of shit there, but also it was such a different fucking time in North Carolina.
He was born in Texas. He was I think that'll happen in Georgia.
Okay.
Grizzly worked everywhere. I think he worked for Watts in the Mid-South. I know he worked in Georgia forever. I don't know where necessarily.
Yeah.
Where all that went down.
Yeah.
But along with his stepdad dying,
right,
being electrocuted in a fucking attic.
Yeah.
Stepmother on the other side hated it, was not happy with him.
Yeah.
It was just,
it's no good. It's
no damn good.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. There's a dark side of the ring that covers nothing but Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
And goes into sharp detail onto just how much Grizzly Smith got up to on the road. Had a girl in every town. Had a child in every town.
Yeah.
Just really fucked up.
Real shit-ass real carny. Shit.
So I'm not saying that the chips were necessarily against him, but the chips were against him.
The deck was heavily stacked. Against this dude.
Highly stacked against him. So, somehow.
Right.
He is, but he's also a bit of a natural
in this
world.
Yes.
Finds his way through a bunch of different territories, world class with the Von Erichs.
Right.
Georgia Championship Wrestling, all these different places. Finally gets called up to work with the big carny in New York. And at some point, according to Jake, a honky tonk man hits him with a guitar. And apparently it was not a gimmick guitar. And Jake blames this for getting on pain pills.
Okay.
And then from pain pills,
mm-hmm.
we went hardcore into more pills.
Yeah.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
More pills.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine.
Yes.
And we wash it all down with gallons and gallons of alcohol.
Yep.
As one does.
So you have basically a guy who is in a shitload of pain, primed and ready for addiction, and then gets thrown into a career that damn near guarantees it.
Right. But if you also listen to other people in the business, he's doing all that shit before Honky Tonk ever hit him to begin with.
Yeah, and that, honestly, seeing what he is, because, if that's what it was, if you got a legit thing like that that caused it, you start going to therapy and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, decades long, that was that convenient excuse that you ran into that you decided to run with.
Yeah, the schedule. We always it's the schedule.
And wait, was it an electric guitar?
No.
Oh, then he's lying. then he's lying.
I don't know. Those Tuckaminis can really hurt.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's not like the neck joint snaps immediately, and it's. It's basically...
There's a bar in there, Jim.
You're only hitting someone with his heart. No, in the neck. Yeah, that's the reason that the body snaps off.
Exactly.
Is he claiming that the dude held onto the back of the body and clocked him with the neck? Because even then, what? No. This is a bad lie. Yeah. This is a Sorbo-level lie. Yeah.
God's not Fred,
yeah.
Well, that, according to him, is... how he got on that. And, of course, the schedule. It's always the schedule.
The schedule.
You know, there's a reason those said it was group of 20 to 30-year-olds that all died at one time.
Yeah.
Because back in the true territory area, that era, that didn't quite happen.
Yeah, it's
at
weird.
All.
Yeah.
Because guys just looked like fucking a baked potato, and they got in the ring with other baked potatoes of various potato size, did whatever, went back home, and they had a small territory they rode.
Exactly.
Vince decided he wanted to own everything, and to have his guys work 300 goddamn days a year, along with Crockett. They did the same thing. But
and
you
also,
add drugs and,
and
gear, and you are going to... It's a recipe for destruction.
Also, shooting for television as opposed to a house show.
Correct.
You're able to do a more theatrical, therefore safer show. But when you're shooting for TV, you got to take risks that aren't normally there.
Well, you didn't have to at some point.
Yeah.
But those things evolved that way.
But here's the thing I'll say. No matter what it is, if you're shooting with TV in mind at all, even if you're changing it a little bit, you have to change it some.
Oh, of course.
And that's like no matter what, even your safest move becomes 3% less safe because you're doing it for TV.
Well, of course. And then you're and you have to get up and do it the same, same thing the next day for a house show or another taping or whatever.
Yeah, and you've got it. Yeah, sometimes. And this was back in the twice a day on Saturday and Sunday. Like, that's not, hell of a, it's not sustainable. Yeah.
You have to fall down
repeatedly,
and if nothing else. That's saying that nothing connects. No potatoes are thrown.
Yeah.
You are still throwing yourself to the earth.
Yes. At body weight.
And body
at
weight.
Minimum.
20 times a day? Every day?
You need to be.
And travel.
Hey, hey, you need to be quicker on getting up next time.
Exactly. Be quicker getting up next time. Satan told me so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you have to travel on top of it.
Yeah.
Imagine just traveling. It's already a pain in the ass and draining.
And with that, where it is bus travel.
Oh no. If, not in those days.
Yeah. Oh, God. If you're lucky now. Yeah.
No. Bus, now the boys have, the bigger boys have buses.
Now it's just driving
this was
yourself.
Five guys in a car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that then even fucking worse.
Yeah. Or a plane or both or whatever.
Because it's like you're getting up early because you got to get to the next town. Or you are not sleeping tonight.
That's right.
Or you're sleeping so little that you might as well not.
Right.
And heading out at the crack of dawn, the earliest you can check out of your hotel if you're in one.
Right.
To get to,
This is my point of bringing all this in exhaustive detail is to say, this is a bitch of a schedule.
Yeah.
If you aren't running from anything.
Yes.
If you aren't trying to self-medicate for all the shit you grew up with.
And when you are violently running away and busting through everything to get away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So there you have this wreckage in shoes.
Yeah.
That is Jake the Snake Roberts at this point of his life.
Yep.
Good news for Jake.
Yeah.
Cleaned up his life. Apparently everything's a lot better.
Which goddamn almost has to be.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Frankly, a lot of, if you ask the more cynical among us, which if you're a wrestling fan, you're all cynical. We are all cynical.
Yeah.
We're just like waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting for a relapse. But I want it to happen. I want to be clear.
Yeah.
I'm just,
but you're certain it's gonna.
I'm looking at experience.
Yeah,
and what is the historical record of this fucking nightmare business?
Yes,
tells me it ends in tears.
Mm-hmm.
Everything does.
Yep, the fact that he's still alive is,
a
minor miracle.
And if he is clean, I can't imagine, because there's a difference to being clean, being sober and clean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully,
yeah.
As someone who has been even 10 feet down the road he took.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't hear those voices anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't mean voices in his head like Randy Orton.
No.
That's for you, Owen.
Yep.
Jim's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know. Yep, it has to be. That has to be for Owen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just awful. So this movie gives you like some genuinely heartbreaking moments with him.
Yes.
Because
working in the shittiest independent gym. Not only it was a gym, it looked like a fucking
like a warehouse.
Like a warehouse or a
barn.
What the fuck? Knights of Columbus Hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
It was a very independently promoted. They scraped together as much money and we'll call it contract writer requirements.
Yeah.
Meaning specifically cracked cocaine.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, any place that's willing to pay and deal with that, knowing he's going to show up, do his whatever, and
people will show.
People will be there for it.
Enough, I guess.
Enough people will be there for it, and some people it will make their life worthwhile. When she's 7 kids, 7 husbands. This would be the highlight of her life. Like, I remember that from the first time I saw it and being like,
ugh.
And I'm so happy that Jake didn't fucking talk to her after the show.
Yeah. Really Happy Grizzly was nowhere near.
Oh, God, yeah. Because that was that shit where it's like, okay, which weird, desperate young lady is he gonna...
Imagine, just imagine.
Yeah, yeah. The
fucking...
Like, he would have gone with eyes.
The body count.
Oh, yeah.
He
doesn't strike me as being too discriminating.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So even back in the golden days when he was like, first it's one girl, then it's blah, 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 blah. Then you go home and try and make
love
to your wife. It's like a comic I saw of a man and woman laying next to each other. And he says, so you can't think of anyone else either? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then we go through a very emotional. He hasn't seen his daughter in years. And yeah. She's going to come. And, like, she goes through this book. She's like, hey, this is how I feel. This is the shit that Steel Grady hides behind. These are his letters. Like, damn, girl, you saw a therapist and you processed some shit. You
did some shadow work. I recognize.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I'm not putting up with this anymore, Dad.
Yeah.
And that it's that weird moment where you have used up all, like in The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Where he missed it. Like all he did was we'll do this and then missed being there. And that was it. Now, it didn't have to be anything else. You just weren't there when you said you would be, and you don't get another shot at it.
Exactly.
And that, so daughter shows up and is being dead honest.
Yeah.
After 5 minutes, he just dips.
Yeah, because she brought some friends with her.
Yeah.
Apparently, they had a longer conversation at her apartment and whatever, but things got too hard for him to deal with. Immediately, he was closing in on himself and counting the minutes so he could go and score.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he did.
That's exactly what he did, because when they found him, he was on the crack.
He was completely fucking high. His eyes were night.
Yeah. He was cocaine at that moment.
Yeah.
When he was talking to his daughter, though, on the phone, that was the thing where I'm like, you can't handle the slightest bit of anything.
No.
Can you? Mm-mm. Like,
It's the sort of control that is like all control.
Yeah.
Based so much on fear.
Yep.
Completely by fear.
That because so much is, okay, yeah, Jake, you now have to deal with the fact that the only way your daughter is okay meeting with you is if she has someone else there with her.
Yeah.
Not that she's afraid that, but just.
She's support.
She's no longer willing to do it alone. You've lost that. You've lost the right to ask her that.
Exactly.
And then you immediately proved why. And it's that, yeah, I understand not knowing how. But I go back to what I think is the best quote about mental health ever. No, your problems are not your fault.
Right.
But they are your fucking responsibility. Exactly. And you are taking this out on this kid.
Yeah.
And I applaud her for even trying.
Yeah, for sure.
Because by that point she was like, this is it. We witnessed probably the last attempt.
Yeah.
Because as they said, well, since the last time we spoke to Jake, he had spent some time in jail for fucking non-payment of child support.
That's right.
So you're just like him.
Yep.
You're just like that dad of yours, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention the fact that when she was thinking she was making some headway into deepening their relationship or at least connecting on any level.
Yeah.
He immediately goes to, I'm contemplating suicide.
Yep.
Again, that's a control move.
Yes, it is.
An attempt to manipulate the entire situation.
It is.
Into sympathy for himself
mm-hmm.
and not talk about what he has to deal with right now.
Yeah.
Then crack cocaine.
Yep.
Felt that was important.
Yeah.
To
and it, keep
in the conversation.
It is one of those things where, yeah, and he goes from control. Like that is one of those moves that at his age,
no,
you don't do that. And parents never get to do that to their kids ever.
No,
that's never fucking allowed.
No,
not sure if everyone was aware of it, but evidently fucking what's his real name? Arenthal,
Aurelian.
Omicron. Okay.
Omicron.
Yeah.
Unicron.
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 Unicron Smith.
Snake Roberts. Wait a minute.
Unicron Smith Unicron Smith sounds like a really, really awful blaxploitation movie from the 70s.
Sounds like a tight end for the Atlanta fucking Falcons.
You're not incorrect. But yeah, it's the gross side of the business. It is the, oh God, this is where you're going to be someday.
If if you do that.
Yeah.
Right.
If you
that
do
Terry can't get away from the business.
Yeah.
But for all of his, and Terry liked to drink. Like,
oh, yeah.
No mistake.
Oh, yeah. He loved the
Coors. He liked to,
I like to have a Coors Light. Beer. Have some Coors Light here.
I've got some blood in my lungs here. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and have this beer, you know.
Yeah,
but I mean that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead.
Just have some beer. Who needs cartilage? Yeah.
And no shit. I love that. The doctor is talking to Terry about the non-existent, no existent cartilage in his fucking knee. And then you realize that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
He wrestled for 20 more years. Wrestled in inverted commas.
I don't know how you're able to stand the pain you're in now. I don't know. And I love, as you said, Hope, that was a work. That dude is in incredible agony at this moment.
There's a great line that was isolated by Jack on the Laps fan about Dusty Rhodes being interviewed in a shoot interview about Terry.
Right.
They had a very long running feud. They made a lot of money together.
Nice.
But Dusty says, Terry Funk's a worker. He's a worker. He's a worker. He's working you. He's working me. He's working everybody. He's a worker. Nothing but that's all he is. Worker. Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because so are you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Virgil Runnels.
My hand touching your hand.
Yeah. Turn him a skull.
But yeah, that Terry is that, fuck, man. It is the frustration of.
Yeah, he didn't get into drugs, is my point.
Yeah, it's that pig-headed old guy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking stuff. And that is why I think the third story, with how shit has shaken out from that, really fucking good. Because Mankind wasn't around a lot longer after this.
Well, he went through a few different incarnations of different characters in the WWE,
right.
Whatever. He worked again in like TNA. He'd come back to the E every once in a while, whatever. Mm-hmm. He continued to work for a while after that, but nowhere near like what Terry did.
Yeah.
Terry first retired in like the 80s in Japan.
Yeah.
86? In Japan, like, oh, I'm done. Everybody, I'm thinking, everybody, it's time to go. I'm going to go ahead and go home. And I'm going to go ahead and not retire and unretire eight fucking times.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead.
I'm going to do it. Yeah.
So.
But
Mick didn't have the same trajectory. However, Mick did some crazy shit in that smaller window of a career.
Yeah.
Granted, because the business wasn't like that for the longest part of Terry's.
Yeah. But
he didn't even turn to that sort of. He had some pretty violent matches with Juice and all that shit. But the deathmatch kind of stuff, ECW stuff.
Right.
That was well into the backside of his career.
Right.
But Mick had been doing it for something like that, and of that ilk for, what is it, 98? So probably 12 years, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that before he got there, of bumps that were just straight up on the concrete.
Right.
There's matches he had as Cactus Jack in WCW where he falls down, his head, you hear his head hit fucking concrete. And it is an unmistakable sound.
Yeah. It's a thud.
I don't know how many concussions he's had.
Yeah. But it's not zero.
No.
Yeah.
He has really fucked himself up.
Yeah.
For this business that he thought he needed to do.
Yeah.
He got a lot of shit because of that.
Yeah.
From people like Flair.
Yeah.
And other guys like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you doing it? Two reasons you're doing this. You're taking light off me. Right?
Yeah.
Because you're doing shit that's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
That you, what happens is people want it.
Yeah.
And now, the fans are responsible for a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
If not all of it. You do that crazy shit. Now we want more.
It. Yeah.
Now we want more. Now we want more. And then finally, you're throwing yourself off the top of a fucking cage.
Yeah.
Through a table.
Yes.
Collapsible table. Still. Yep.
But still through a table.
Through a fucking table to the ground. And then, it wasn't supposed to happen, but you got fucking choke slammed through the cage onto a mat.
Yeah. And that's a good 10-foot drop.
Abso-fucking-ly.
Yeah.
Deep and tall enough that when The Undertaker hops back down, he breaks his fucking foot.
Yeah. And how tall is Undertaker?
Your height.
Yeah.
It's fucking 6'8" of a much bigger person.
Yeah.
Coming down.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous.
I cannot imagine how absurdly the wind was blasted out of him when he hit the ground.
I can't.
Because he landed flat on his fucking back.
Right. That wasn't the typical bump of your tuck your neck,
yeah.
exhale, bam.
Yep.
No, no, no.
That was what? That was supposed to be on a relatively, not soft, but relatively forgiving chain link fence.
And stable,
yeah.
if nothing else.
Yeah.
And you can see, and Mark Calloway, the Undertaker, has talked about it since.
Yeah.
Like, you see his body language. He's moving and he freezes.
Yeah.
Looking down for a minute.
Like, fuck.
Like, and he thought, oh, he's dead.
I just killed someone.
Right.
Yeah.
And in a business where 90% of what you do is in the hands of your dance partner.
Yeah.
As far as getting stuff over back and forth.
Uh-huh.
The last thing, the wrestling handshake, everyone shakes their hand soft. Well, I don't know why the fuck that, where that came from.
Right.
It's sort of this thing now.
Yeah.
And that's meant to communicate to you, to who you just met, that I won't hurt you.
Yeah.
You can
trust this. Trust me. You are safe in my hands.
Right. Your body is safe with me.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah. This is fucking Mark Calloway. He's been, you know, doing this shit forever, thinking he just killed the guy.
One of his things is, doesn't he bury people?
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Wait like, a minute, man. Aren't you dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that...
Terrifying.
That one, seeing it, Jesus Christ.
I watched it happen live and was like...
That...
What? That's already after that first bump happened.
Yeah.
Which no one had ever seen before.
Uh-huh.
And there comes a time, and I've never been a deathmatch fan, I've never been into that bullshit. Yeah. You know, ECW was fine, but it wasn't a big deal to me. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, that's huge. It's fucking anathema to so many fans, but I don't give a fuck.
Right.
But as incredible as that is, there is a moment of, this is just a car crash.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm concerned now about the person more than I am about what crazy shit he's going to pull
off.
Yeah,
more than
the show. Or
what's
he going to do next time? It never came to my mind watching that. Like, well, I hope the next pay-per-view will be crazier.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
It's like,
no.
That individual is injured.
That person may be dead.
Yeah, there's something very wrong here.
There's something wrong here.
Yeah.
And he made it somehow. But, mother of fuck.
Yep.
Why do that?
Yeah.
Thank God, as far as the big boys go.
Yeah.
You can count on one hand the people that went through that kind of shit.
Yes.
But unfortunately, you'd need a lot more hands to talk about the people that died at the hands of combination of drugs, alcohol, anabolics, and schedule.
Yes.
Yep. It's just a fucking fact.
It's like, what I love about Harry Houdini is he said openly, I will never do anything on stage that is more dangerous or puts me in greater risk than sitting in a chair in my living room.
Yeah.
That right there, and I'm a huge Penn & Teller fan,
sure.
And that is a thing that they have been, like, adamant, like, religiously adamant about, where it's like, at no point in time, if at any point in time there is a genuine risk, fucking don't. Yeah, yeah. And that's what kills me with the wrestling, is it has to be like, no, it is all genuine risk.
It's all genuine.
Just the small one where he threw him and the dude tripped over the fucking metal, the diamond plate staircase.
Yeah, and those are spots, right? That's an actual spot. It's not all the time.
Yeah.
Stair spot.
Yeah.
But Mick's stair spot is not the same as everyone
else.
No,
it's not.
It's just an abandoned.
Yeah.
You see one that, I just watched it on Royal Rumble, guy goes in, you hit it a certain way with your body and slap, make a sound, and push the stairs out of the way.
Yeah.
It makes a big noise.
He does not.
Just fall
over
the fucker.
Over them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the shit that blew, like, and that's the minor one that he had control over.
Right. Exactly.
Then that one where he smashes the table. Okay, that was at least something to soften the landing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Then the third one was like, oh, that was plywood.
Yeah.
That was just fucking plywood. And then the Rock bashing your fucking head, like,
oh my God,
how many hits were not supposed to have happened with the chair?
According to all sources,
it
was supposed to be 3 chair shots. It was not 3 chair shots.
Yeah,
he just kept hitting him.
The fourth one was the most, what the fuck is that one? He got some sauce on the fourth one.
Yeah, and this is all pre-Eve, I'll say, just not giving a fuck about CTE. We didn't know as much then as we do now. I have always been of the opinion that you knew plenty.
Oh, yeah.
You just
didn't
give a shit.
Yes. I'm with you
Vince
on that.
Vince McMahon.
Yeah. Oh, he knew.
And everybody was guilty of it. Everyone did it.
Yep.
But goddamn, you'll want to Google, I believe, rock chair shot on Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
On your free time.
Yeah. Is it bad?
It is gross.
Really?
It's just, why did that happen?
Yeah.
Fucking Dwayne?
Yeah.
What are you doing, man?
Are you okay, dude?
Are you with it? I think it's either Blackman or Shamrock. I think it's Shamrock.
Right.
Whatever. It's fucking hideous.
Okay. You know, you've convinced me. The Rock chair shot. Oh, wow. Let's see here. The Rock chair shot. The Rock chair shot Ken Shamrock. So let's see. Is it this one here?
I believe so.
Okay. Dude's on his knees. Okay. Hold on. I need to get. Where's the. Oh, because I turned my audio down.
Did you hear that?
That went right to his face?
Yeah.
Oh. He just ain't moving. The ref is looking at him like, is that the one where the...
There's so many.
Yeah. Let me see here, because that is...
It's usually under, worst chair shot ever.
Okay. So motherfucker, I don't want to watch any more of the shorts. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I like watching bullshit about maps sometimes. So let's see here. The Rock chair shot, Ken Shamrock.
Like, worst chair shot. Maybe two other people that
sends him to the ER. Let's see here. The Rock knocks Ken Shamrock's head off with a chair.
That'd be it.
Let's see. That one?
Fuck, dude. Yes.
Dude. Jesus. Like, that was a... Like, dude laid in and let it hit. That was...
Unprotected.
Oh.
You'll see if they use shots. Like, they don't use headshots, unprotected headshots, like, ever.
Yeah.
The last time one happened was Cody Rhodes when he was still in AEW, and it was meant for... And even then...
It wasn't supposed to.
No, it was supposed to happen. Like, he wanted to go a hard way with it.
Uh-huh.
But it was a good... barometer to what mainstream wrestling fans are going to take and not take. Okay.
No.
Yeah. Not you, buddy. And not here.
Yeah.
There's plenty of juggalos or whatever the fuck the people, quote unquote, people do. Let them do that. Not here. This ticket costs too much money.
Yeah.
For me to watch you and I park.
Yes.
To watch you have your head legitimately split open by fucking, what the fuck is that guy's name? Spears? No, thank you.
Yeah, and it's like people don't. Yeah, there is
there's a
limit,
dude.
There's a line.
Yeah,
but yeah, this
alignment.
I do like that. It seemed to have, on some level, gotten through to Mick. But
yeah.
You know, because that is.
But it's sick to watch because his kids are there.
Yeah,
I mean, if it was just that, I'd fall into it. And I don't remember having. I'm not trying to be a Pollyanna.
Yeah,
I don't remember having some reaction to that stuff back then.
Yeah,
and thinking. Any more than, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But that even then, bloodthirsty wrestling fan in his 20s, early 20s, when it happened, that cage was it.
Yeah.
The second fall to the mat was just like, okay, fuck.
Yeah, this is,
that's enough of this shit.
Yeah.
Can we just, you know, can someone just work a fucking arm lock?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, let's get a little less intense here.
Yeah, so.
Oy.
It was a. So there's two roads before you, or three roads in this case.
Yes.
One that Mick went down, one that Terry Funk went down, and then the one Jake went down.
But here's the thing you have to remember, that with all of those, and this is the thought we ended on,
okay,
is that there is a fourth road, and that road is dusty. So, baby. Go with that road.
I got it.
The one that lets you end a legend who dies.
The man with the power too sweet to be a sow. I stole that shit. Oh, that's right, baby. Reach out my hand and give me a sandwich, baby.
He died happy as shit. I bet. I assume. No reason not to. He had what I call the Gandolfini, where I'm wagering you died right.
Probably so.
James Gandolfini, that's a death that I'm like, that's, you know.
Hey, man.
He had a great night in Italy with your family and friends. Boom. Yeah.
Austin fucking native.
Really?
Dusty Rhodes.
Nice.
That's right.
Yeah, very nice. It is such a fascinating history. And I love that our move back away from this into the realm of other cinema. We'll be getting Clarkson caught up on the Creed trilogy.
Correct.
That's right. We're going to be watching Creed live from Brazil,
right,
the entire concert, because Clarkson's never seen it before.
It's true.
So, yes, we will be watching
a movie about a legitimate sport.
Yes.
Rather than a movie about fake sports.
Exactly. This will be the one that really pisses you off that Jonathan Majors got into his own way as much as he did.
I'm sure it will.
Because, it's very nice. It's a good movie. But, yeah, it's one of those businesses I can't understand. I can understand on one level wanting to get into it.
Don't.
But I can't.
Just
like,
don't.
Oh, yeah, perform with the, I can see that being neat. Oh, so God, fucking no.
It's a disease. If you want to hear me talk about wrestling more because you're just like, oh, man,
yeah,
this is great. I love hearing about fake bullshit.
Fake stuff. Fake
by
fighting.
Carnival fucking liars.
Yes.
I have a podcast called The Open Hand Slap Professional Wrestling Podcast. More details coming soon.
Boom. Hell yeah. That was fun. We will catch y'all. We'll catch y'all next time, baby.
It's fake, baby.
It's fake, baby.